That's us here, Christian worship. People grafted onto the promises that God made to this nation, Israel. We have not replaced Israel and the promises that God made to Abraham. We are grafted in and included. Scripture teaches that. But there's more. Romans chapter 11 says this. I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation. So if you turn to your Bible, you may not track with it, but you can look it up. It's Romans chapter 11, verses 18 to 22 is what I'll read. Here's what it says in the New Living Translation about this grafting in to the tree that is Israel of the Christian church. You must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, he won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe toward those who disobeyed, but kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you'll also be cut off. That from the New Living Translation, Romans chapter 11, verse 18 to 22. God has called us to deliver us from slavery that we might follow him. He hasn't come to give us a free ticket to do whatever we want without consequence because we bought fire insurance by saying, yes, I'll raise my hand when they said something true over there. That's significant. And sometimes I don't think it gets taught quite clearly as it needs to be from the front. And so we're doing that this morning. In the book of Exodus, God delivers his people from slavery. But as we'll see, he doesn't accept anyone who's not willing to trust and follow him. Out of everyone who left Egypt, that entire generation died in the desert. And only two people out of more than a million went into the Promised Land, crossing the Jordan River 40 years later. And this is the teaching of Scripture. God chose to reveal his purpose. He, the burning bush, and Moses came and he saw that. God revealed himself. And he chose to lead his people out of Egypt, the house of bondage. And God chose to instruct his people about how to live. It's a major movement in the book of Exodus. And God chose to do it through a person, through Moses. So God takes a man from nothing. It's a person born under a death sentence. Kill all the boys in Egypt, and Moses was one of the boys, and somehow is delivered through circumstance, and we see that it's the purposes of God unfolding, all things working together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And he makes Moses a leader of a nation. And God takes this nation itself made from nothing, isn't it, right? The nation Israel is the result of a gracious promise that God made to two simple people, Abram and Sarai. And they were as good as dead, the Bible says. So old that they wouldn't have children, and God made a nation from people who had no hope in the book of Genesis. And now he has taken that nation, which is the beneficiary of a promise fulfilled. And this whole story is of God's grace and God keeping the promise, making it and keeping it. Do you remember the promise that God made to Abraham? Abram, right? His name changed through the story. In Genesis chapter 15, I think we could turn to that and just look at it again, because these are the foundation points of all Scripture. You and I today, standing here believing that there is salvation in Jesus' name, is rooted in this promise in Genesis chapter 15. These are the promises that God made to Abraham. So it's the middle of an adventure. We've been following Abraham since chapter 11 or 12. And in chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." But Abram said, "Oh, Lord God, what will you give me? I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Look, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside, and he said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them." He said to him, "So shall your offspring be." So here he is, something like 85 years old, and God has made him this promise. It's unrealistic. His wife, as old as she was, I think I botched the numbers. I won't say there's Abraham 85. I think it's more like Sarah at age 85 ends up having the children. And so here's Abram, 9 years old, total geezer. No, not going to have any kids, right? And then God makes this kind of promise to him. It's going to happen. And here's where faith comes in. This is an important element of our whole position in Christ. Look at the next line. Scripture records faith as the basis for this relationship. We read the next line and it says, "And Abram believed the Lord, and God counted it to him as righteousness." So the whole thing that God does isn't because of anything that Abram did. What has Abram done yet? He's done nothing yet. God said, "I'm going to give you offspring." And Abram believed God, and God counted it as righteousness. And that's faith. That's why it's faith and not law. That's why as we look back in the book of Exodus and we say, yeah, people say that's the book of the law. Moses wrote the Pentateuch, right? Right. So the five books. And that is referred to as the Torah in Hebrew. And it's the law. And so many people tried all the way up until Jesus' day to keep the law and couldn't. And here's Abraham believing God, and God saying, "We're going to be friends, you and I. That counts. You trust me. I'll get you there. If you trust me, I'll get you there." There's your tweet for the morning, right? If you trust me, I'll get you there. God makes another promise, though. This is a significant promise as we go into the book of Exodus. And you just peek down to verse 13 of chapter 15 in Genesis, since you're reading along. And it says this, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, 'Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. And then what does it say in verse 14? You look down, it says, "I will bring them out with a mighty hand," right? "I will bring them out and I'll provide for them again." We see the promise of nationhood, and it's reiterated three times in the book of Genesis to each generation. So if you flipped a page over to chapter 22, you would see that God tells Abraham, "I will surely bless you." This is verse 17. "I'll surely bless you, multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that's on the seashore, and your offspring will possess the gate of their enemies." Then he says chapters later in chapter 26, he says this to Isaac, "I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and I will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." Do you see that? Not because of the good thing that you just did, Isaac, but for my servant Abraham's sake. Why? Because Abraham believed God and he counted it as righteousness. And he's talking to Abraham's son who is believing God and following him. And for the sake of the promise made to your father, I'm making a promise to you, Isaac. And then chapters later, in chapter 28, he says to Jacob, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And there we see a messianic promise. All the families of the earth blessed in your offspring. And we recognize that Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, is how this promise is fulfilled.